But it was a sense of freedom like I had never known was possible, just limitless, boundless. My experience was simply of being awareness itself, a single point of awareness. I was free of all constraints, limitations, labels, free of ideas, free of anything that tied me to my human experience. And as I continued to allow and explore this sensation of floating freely in this state of simple, clear awareness, it began to shift. I then became aware that my distinct awareness was also inseparable from a larger oneness. And then I was in and of the oneness itself. I was the oneness. The experience of dissolving into that oneness, the complete dissolution of any individuality, was not the least bit frightening. It was actually pleasant and peaceful and joyful. And then that shifted. And next, I was aware of being surrounded in all directions by an infinite number of other awarenesses. Not other beings exactly, but simply other points of awareness that were identical to the awareness that I was. The word community comes to mind as the best word, I guess, to describe that sensation of being surrounded in that way, but it was community unlike anything I've experienced in this world. It was pure and loving, a mutual sharing of existence. And then that shifted, and I became aware only of the oneness again. And it went like this, alternating back and forth, subsumed in the vast, immeasurable oneness, and then being again one distinct point of awareness among many for what seemed like a very long time. I lost all track of time. The way that my awareness shifted back and forth between these two states made me think of the dual nature of light, that how light can behave either as a particle or as a wave, depending upon how it's perceived. And then as I came back to ordinary consciousness, it felt almost like I had to use effort to rebuild the elements of my identity. I had to reapply my sense of who I was in the world. I felt a little wistful as that incredible experience that I had began to drift away. There was a strange period of time when I could almost feel like my mental library was being repopulated by my thoughts and opinions, my proclivities, my personality. I took a shower and I remember looking down at this body that I was inhabiting with the unfamiliarity of a stranger. I remember thinking just how very strange it is that we are so identified with the things that divide us. Gender, race, age, class, ability, when the truth felt so clear and undeniable that we are all individual points of awareness, housed temporarily in our individual physical bodies. So what happened during that mushroom trip was like nothing I had ever experienced before. Without any context, I wasn't even really sure how to understand it. So I sat down and I shared what happened with a good friend of mine who was a practicing Buddhist. And he had studied and practiced and taught meditation for 40 years. And he told me that what I described sounded like a state of consciousness that the Buddha talked about and that meditators spend years, decades, hoping to reach. Now, nothing like that has happened to me since that day, and now I focus on just deepening my meditation practice. But the experience that afternoon made a huge impression on me. It has changed the way I understand the nature of being. It has influenced my thoughts and feelings about what happens to our awareness after our bodies die. And it has shaped my ideas about the purpose of life. I understand what happened to me as an enlightenment experience, and I now believe that anyone can have one. The Buddha said, "I see now that all creatures have perfect enlightenment, but they do not know it." So how do we work towards enlightenment? Where is the path, and how do we know if we're heading in the right direction? You know, Eckhart Tolle, who we heard from earlier, also had an enlightenment experience, which he wrote about in his book, The Power of Now. And he says that it is our identification with our mind, our compulsive thinking, that is our greatest obstacle to experiencing enlightenment. Psalm 46:10 in the Old Testament says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. Stop moving. Stop thinking. Stop resisting. Don't consider. Don't cogitate. Don't intellectualize. The psalmist says, "Be still and know." It's a wake-up call, right? Know the I am presence. The author tells us how we attain that knowledge through being still. We cannot know the true nature of being through our thinking mind. You can't read about it in a book and get it. I know that that is tricky for Unitarian Universalists. We are much more comfortable when we can study and discuss and debate ideas. But enlightenment, the direct experience of the I am presence and being a part of that, is not something that you can get to through your intellect. It requires us to grow still and quiet our mental noise. In an article that I found on Deepak Chopra's website, Vedic teacher Teresa Long answers this question, is enlightenment really attainable? So I want to lift up some of the things that she said on her website. She said, "The difference between the vast majority of people and an enlightened person is that the latter has gone further in transforming their mind into a vibrant, alert tool that can see the ultimate reality. The good news is that we can look for breadcrumbs along the way, such as aha moments and experiences of awakening that will show us that we are progressing on the path towards enlightenment. As we shift into enlightenment, the real world, where we are connected with everything and where God is present in everything, including us, becomes more genuine. The first step to start on your transformational process is to actually want enlightenment," right? We're not going to get there if that's not something that we actually want and are willing to move towards. "Your brain will then start to adapt to this new reality, and the levels or degrees of enlightenment will start to unfold in their own timing and individual rhythm." And she lists these 7 degrees of enlightenment. I think of it as like 7 features, 7 things that you'll experience when you're on that path. Inner calm and detachment increase, so you can be centered in the midst of outer activity. Your feelings of connection grow. You feel less alone. You feel more bonded with others. Empathy deepens, so you can sense what others are feeling and you care about them. Clarity dawns. You are less confused and conflicted. Awareness becomes more acute, so you get better at knowing what's real and who is genuine. Truth reveals itself, so you no longer buy into the conventional beliefs and prejudices, and you are less swayed by outside opinions. And lastly, bliss grows in your life. You love more deeply. When you begin to notice that the degrees of enlightenment are already aspects of your awareness in this very moment, then enlightenment becomes more palpable. She goes on to say, "Developing a meditation practice is one of the ways to start cultivating connection with the true nature of reality, with the real us, and with higher states of consciousness. As we dive into the vastness of our being, we begin to get a taste of our essential nature and a deeper connection with the universe. This new expanded awareness of ourselves allows the 7 degrees of enlightenment to unfold naturally and effortlessly. So, my friends, enlightenment can be yours. And maybe you are already on the path and recognize some of those 7 degrees as being parts of your life that you're noticing are starting to increase. If you are not, or if what I'm saying makes no sense to you, if it seems like the path to enlightenment is too difficult a road to travel or an unnecessary burden in an already burdensome life, I understand. But in my experience, it is much easier than going about your life in the darkness of separation, carrying around the heavy weights of your illusions. Enlightenment means becoming lighter, unencumbered, bringing more and more light into your awareness. It's about laying down the heavy burdens that you have been carrying for years. One of my favorite poems by one of my favorite poets, the Sufi poet Hafez, he says, "Just sit there right now. Don't do a thing. Just rest. For your separation from God, from love, is the hardest work in this world." So friends, your spiritual well-being is important to me, and I want to be helpful to you. Remember that you can avail yourself of one of the several meditation groups that meet here each week. If you're interested in starting a meditation practice at home and you could use a little help, myself or one of the other meditation teachers would be happy to talk to you about that. My dream for this congregation is that this is a place where we take very seriously and actively nurture our third UU principle, the encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. By so doing, we become active participants in bringing the beloved community right here to this beautiful fellowship. We bring more love, more compassion, more clarity, more peace, more forgiveness to ourselves and to one another. And it changes everything. So may we endeavor to do that. May it be so. Amen, and blessed be.